time to Isaiah and chapter 9. So Isaiah and chapter 9. I'll find a page number for you in just 1 second. 694, thank you. 694 is the page number. And very familiar words that we read at Christmas. Page 694, Isaiah chapter 9, reading from verse 1 down to verse 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. Amen. Thinking today about hope as we draw near to Christmas. And particularly, we're going to be thinking about Jesus as the child of hopefulness. What is the difference that Jesus makes in terms of hopefulness? We all know what it is to hope. And I really don't need to remind you what it is to hope. We've all hoped for things. We've all hoped to receive things. We've all hoped for opportunity. We've all hoped for things to change in our lives. We've all hoped to meet somebody or to hear a word of encouragement or direction. We've all hoped for our next meal. All sorts of things that we have hoped for. That sense of longing, that sense of expectation that we've all experienced from time to time. And of course, that is what Advent is about. It's about looking forward with a sense of hope and expectation. And Jesus is the child of hopefulness. And I want to take just a few minutes this morning to reflect on Jesus as the child of hopefulness. What does that mean? How did it come about? How is it that Jesus is this child of hopefulness? Jesus is this one in whom people have had placed so much of their expectation and hope. Well, we begin by reflecting on the foundation of hope. And I simply want to say this, that God has spoken. Isaiah speaks, of course, I think it's something like 600 years before Jesus is born. And yet Isaiah has, a bit like Jeremiah, expecting, hoping, looking forward to the coming of someone different, a king who will rule in a different way with justice and righteousness. Isaiah does the same. He looks forward. Did he receive the exact words to speak? We don't know. But certainly there was a deep awareness within Isaiah's heart, within his life, of what God was going to do. Maybe not in the immediate future, but certainly at some point, God was going to do something extraordinary. And so Isaiah here speaks about the transforming power of this light that he says they have seen. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light of dawn. And you can imagine all the people around Isaiah who heard these words being spoken. What do you mean? We haven't seen any light. This still is a land of deep darkness. You want to give us hope, but we can't see it with our own eyes. We can't feel it. We can't experience it ourselves. And so there would be that clash within those who first heard these words of Isaiah. How does this work? It's not working for us. And so for generation after generation, as this story was told, as people were reminded again and again of the words of Isaiah, do you remember what Isaiah said? Do you remember that sense that he had, that deep sense as a prophet, receiving from God that awareness that one day we'll be able to say this for ourselves, that people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And people will reflect, God has spoken. God has spoken. And just God speaking, it's like a seed that is planted. And we don't often feel the significance of God's word when it's spoken. Sometimes we do, don't we? Sometimes we hear God's word and it just speaks straight into our lives immediately. We know. It's like the sword that speaks into our hearts and life. But sometimes God's word is like a seed that is planted. I love it when I'm walking, particularly in a city, in town, wherever, and despite the best efforts, there is a plant growing up in the middle of the pavement. Have you seen that? And I love it, you know. And that sense of even in the hardest environment, in the darkest place, sometimes God speaks and nobody notices anything. But it just grows a little bit at a time. But we need to recognize here as well that God has spoken. But for some, it will have created this sense of hopefulness. This expectation, one day we'll be able to say, yes, to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government is upon his shoulders. One day that will be so. Not yet. But it will happen. And some will grab a hold of this, and they will live with that hopefulness, live with that yearning. But for others, they'll hear the same words, and they won't live with that sense of hopefulness. Isn't that right? We can all hear the same thing. And yet it can create different things, different responses. And so what we need to recognize in terms of the foundation of hope, this sense that Jesus is the child of hopefulness, that there has to be a reciprocal response to God's word. God can speak his word, but God never forces his word into our lives. You know, when I see that plant or whatever it is, particularly it's beautiful when it's a flower growing up on the concrete pavement. You know, I wonder, how did the seed get there? I doubt very much whether somebody went along, you know, deliberately at night, you know, planting, right, let's find a crackling, let's put it in there, you know. I don't suppose it happened like that. You know, more likely, it just got blown by the wind and there was an opening and it just rested there. Although there are folk, guerrilla gardeners. Have you heard about these guerrilla gardeners? They do that kind of thing. You know, wherever they see a bit of wasteland, they throw seed and all sorts of things grow, and it's beautiful to see it. On the, just as an aside, on the motorway down, I think it's the M1 coming down towards Nottingham, guerrilla gardeners have planted flowers all the way along. You know, they just throw some seeds all the way down there. It's a beautiful sight when they're growing. But God doesn't force his seed into our hearts. There's a sense in which there's this relationship between God's word and us, and there has to be an openness in us and a willingness to hear what God has said, because somebody can hear God's word and it creates hope, somebody else can hear God's word and whatever, I give up on it. And so we need to recognize that this foundation of hope, Jesus as the child of hopefulness, as we approach Christmas, as we work our way through Advent and approach Christmas, or even in our lives right now, there is this reciprocal relationship. God speaks and we respond. God speaks and we say yes to God's word. And often when we hear God's words, it may be that we don't quite know what it means. I remember a friend of mine preaching here, I don't know, 20-odd years ago. He'd come to speak at, I think, either Zoe or Isaac's dedication service. And I remember hearing this friend preach. And I remember sitting there, aware God was speaking. And I remember saying to Sarah, I have no idea what it meant. But God was speaking. And it took time to work out and reflect. And that can be true for us as well. So, God has spoken. Foundation of hope. I went backwards there. God is with you. Again, a foundation of hope. And here, I don't know if you want to flick forwards. And if you've got your Bible still open, flick forwards to Luke's Gospel, because this is where it really begins to take hold. This is on page 1026. Page 1026. And this is where Mary is visited by the angel Gabriel. It's actually 1025. Page 1025. Mary is visited by the angel Gabriel. It doesn't matter if you haven't found it. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." The Lord is with you. Again, this is God's word. The Lord is with you. Foundation of hope. Jesus as the child of hopefulness begins because God has spoken. That seed somehow is planted, and somehow we respond to that seed and we say yes. Well, however this grows, I'm hopeful. But the second thing I want to highlight is the word, God is with us. That reality. If God is with us, that creates all sorts of hope and expectation. And that's the very first thing that the angel says. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. God is with you. Emmanuel, God is with you. And it is upon that, if we know that God is with us, isn't that transformative? If God is with you, if you know, if you receive that word for yourself, you may not know why you have that sense, God is with me. You may not know what is going to come, what's going to evolve or build or grow. But just that sense, God is with me, guiding my footsteps. I don't know where this will take me, but God is with me. It may be a challenge as that awareness, God is with me. He may lead me somewhere where I wasn't really expecting to go. He may lead me to a response that I wasn't expecting to take. He may guide me to make decisions in my life that, you know, if he'd told me back whenever it was, I'd have said no thanks. But all he said back then was, I'm with you. I'm with you. I've told the story before about how when Sarah and I got married, I was thinking 31 years ago, I should know that. 31 and a half years ago. And we were members of a large church in Sutton Coldfield. Alan Payne was the minister all the time we were there. Actually, during his ministry, over 800 couples got married in the church that he took the wedding for them. And we were just one of them, one of those couples. But on each occasion, as he conducted the service, he had told us, and was very open about this, he always prayed and said, Lord, is there a particular word that you want us to give, you want me to give to the couple being married? And when Sarah and I were there, seated in front of Alan, and he was about to speak, he said, immediately I prayed the prayer for Ed and Sarah, I knew immediately what the word was. From Joshua chapter 1, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I've held on to that. I've been quite relaxed, really. Just, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Okay, doesn't matter where I go. Doesn't matter where I am. God has promised he'll be with me. And it's transformative. I didn't know where it would take me, what we would do, both together and apart. But that word has been powerful for us. And that is the word that he's given to Mary. God is with you, and it's transformative, and it creates hope. If you know and can receive into your heart that God is with you, it creates hope. Things will not be the same. It creates hope. And then a third thing here. Now, if you're still in Luke's Gospel, just turn over to the very next page in our church Bibles, 10:26. In verse 37, the translation we've got here, verse 37, Mary had questioned how all of this that Gabriel said would happen could happen. Verse 37, it actually says here, for no word from God will ever fail. I know it as, you know, as nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. So we have these three things. God has spoken, and maybe God has spoken a long, long time ago, but the seed has been planted in your heart and your life, and you've received it, and it's a growing word that God has spoken. It may be a word of encouragement, a word of direction, a word of command for you, but God has spoken, and you live expectantly. There is hope for you. Maybe that you're aware God has spoken, God, I am with you, to you. And that creates hope and expectation for you. But isn't this an extraordinary word? Nothing is impossible with God. No word from God will ever fail. If you know, nothing is impossible with God. Now, this could be a challenge, because we could throw it back at God and say, okay, I hear what you say, but just look at my circumstances. You know, you really think you can change this? You really think you can change me? All of us in our lives, when we are young, just because of our upbringing, because of our reaction, our responses to events, to other people, and so on, we begin to, as it were, mark out ruts. You know, ruts in the road. And we do it without thinking about it. And we all have ruts that we get in, you know. Well, from a very young age, we begin to mark out those ruts. And then when we are older, We've been walking in those ruts for so long. We think those ruts are the road. And we don't know any different. And then God says, nothing is impossible with me. And we see that the road we've been walking is just the rut we created for ourselves. And then we go, okay, I hear what you say, but look at this. I've been walking in this rut for 10, 20, 30, 50, 60, 70 years. I've never known anything different. Nothing is impossible with God. And when that word comes home, we begin to say, wow, if that is true, creates a deep, profound sense of hope. Life can be different. Life can be different for me. Jesus can be for me the child of hopefulness, transforming my life. What are the possibilities? What are the opportunities? What are the blessings that God will bring to us? Jesus, the child of hopefulness, God has spoken, God is with you, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can imagine or think. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. And when we receive this, it creates hope. Today, I'm going to pause there. There's a whole load more stuff I could have said. I'll leave that for next week. I'm going to pause there. But I want to say this. You've heard everything I've shared. We've read the Bible together. I want to encourage you today to say yes to God. Yes to God's word. And to say, do you know what? I don't know where saying yes will lead me, but I'll say yes. It might be a bit of an adventure to say yes, but I'm going to say yes. That's where hope begins, because we could stand back and go, no, it's not for me. And I want to encourage you, say yes, it is for me. And say, yeah, may it be that the seed, as it were, will find that crack in my life and just rest. Let's see what grows. Might it be that I have a deeper and growing awareness that God is with me and it's okay? Might it be that I become increasingly aware that God is able? Nothing's impossible with God. God is able. Whatever rut we're in, whatever situation we're in, whatever decisions and turns we've taken in our life, God is able. And all of this is rooted in Jesus, the child of hopefulness, the one we look forward to. Let's pause and let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Just as Isaiah spoke of the coming of a king, and just as Gabriel spoke to Mary about her son, that awareness for them of, we're not sure where this is going to lead, but we say yes. Help us, Father, to say yes today. Help us to trust you afresh. May your word rest upon us. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask the musicians if they wouldn't mind coming back up. And we're going to sing, Father,